Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players Inc.
Yes, indeed. And this morning I am joined from the University of Minnesota by Mary Meyer. Good morning, professors. Good to have Mary Meyer back on the radio. How have you been, Mary?
Oh, Denny, good morning. Good to hear your voice. Great to talk about gardening. I've been well and hope you've been well also, but great year for gardening.
I can stand outside or on the deck or whatever and actually watch the weeds grow. I can actually see them grow. What is it, and I know Julie kind of addressed it last week, but is it this hot, dry weather? What's the deal? Why are they so prolific?
Weeds. You know, weeds are just, they really take advantage of any possible situation, and they are able to grow with the least amount of water and the least amount of sunshine, it seems. But yes, they have capitalized on minimal resources and still grow. It is amazing how quickly they can grow.
If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, now is your chance. And, you know, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know how busy we tend to get. If you want to talk to Mary or send Mary a text, either way, send that lawn or garden question via 651-461-9226. Again, call or text 651-461-9226. You know, Mary, unfortunately, at least for those of us around here who need the rain, I'm looking at that forecast for the next 6-7 days, and I don't see a whole lot of chances. Maybe here and there, 20%, maybe 30%, but not many chances, and our lawns are looking pretty tough.
They are. The sad thing is the rain has been very variable, sporadic. So some places have gotten nothing. Others, it's just very erratic. Tuesday evening, I got an inch of rain here in where I live in South Plymouth, and I thought, oh, this is wonderful. And I went out to the Arboretum thinking everything would be nice and well-watered at the Arboretum, and I don't think it rained at all there. So it's really frustrating when it is so erratic. But we do have to remember that anything that you've planted this year, as far as trees and shrubs, the big perennials that you put out in the landscape, if it has not been raining regularly, the newly planted things really have to be watered. And so it's a pain in the neck, but there are lots of good recommendations on the website about how to do that. And so it's better to water infrequently and longer than short bursts of it. And of course, many, many cities have a restriction on watering. So paying attention to when you can actually water, depending on where you live, is important.
Absolutely. Good advice. Let's grab a phone call. I think, let's see who's first up here. Jean is calling in from St. Paul this morning. Jean, you're on with Mary. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for the show. I was wondering what I can do. A cat has used part of my flower garden. How can I neutralize it and to get things growing again and not have the cat come back?
Yeah, so this is kind of tough, Jean. You know, most animals, the fail-safe method is a fence or some type of a barrier so they can't get into the area. So that is, I think, still the best recommendation for a domesticated animal versus a wild animal like bunnies that are really a problem for us. So some type of a barrier, I think, is really what you have to put up. I'm not familiar with any repellents for domesticated cats. But as far as remediation in that area and what you can do, it really depends on how much manure there is from the cat. But I would say just incorporating that into the soil that you have shouldn't be a problem, unless it's something really extraordinary, a huge amount. If you can incorporate it and try to rake through the area, distribute it over a wider area, it will go ahead and compost and decompose.
Okay. And I have another point. A couple weeks ago, you were talking about arborists and stuff, and I called my city forester, and they sent me a list of licensed arborists in the city. So that could be a point, too, for people.
Yeah, great.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Jean. Thanks for that tip. So many of our...
A point, too, for people.
Yeah, great.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Jean. Thanks for that tip. So many of our cities do have a forester or arborist, and yes, they can do recommendations as well. So thank you for that.
Yeah, good point. This listener, Mary, wants to know, what are some easy fall vegetable crops and what should they be doing now to prepare? They have two raised beds and several containers and want to maximize the growing season with cooler weather fall plants, but don't know where to start. And they love the show, too, they say.
Yes, we actually have an article. I was just looking at this at the up online in Extension in our Yard and Garden News. But it's the, really the number of days we have left until there is a frost, and there are quite a few days. So I would consider planting beans, the snap beans, green beans, bush beans, yellow and green beans. These usually take about 65 days. So they are a warm season crop, but it's warm now. So the kind of the conflict is we don't have that many days, but the days we have might be hot. And so I would start with snap beans, and then I would go with some of the leafy vegetables like kale, collards, Swiss chard, lettuces. Lettuce doesn't like heat, but once we get through the next 2 weeks, getting into August, we should have cooler conditions. So lettuce, any of the green leafy crops, those are good too for short term, thinking about what doesn't take very long. So some of these plants can be planted by seed. At this point, certainly bush beans and so on would go in from seed. Not so many vegetable plants are available in garden centers. That's something that we normally see those just in the spring. However, you could look at garden centers and see what's still available from plants, because the next 2 weeks, a lot of garden centers will change over from having all of their spring things to going into more of fall crops, et cetera. But look at the article as well that's up online. And yes, great thing to do, because your first crop of bush beans, when they're done, you can plant another one.
Hey, I know we have to take a break, but I'm a reminder, listeners, Mary, that they can join in on the conversation. If you have a lawn or garden type of question, call it in or text it in to Mary at 651-461-9226. Folks on the line, stay there. After the break, we'll pick up on your phone calls and more text messages here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. I hear silence, I jump in. It's part of the radio business, I guess. We're in the midst of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, answering your lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Speaking of answering questions, let's grab another phone call. I believe Artis is calling in from Golden Valley this morning. Thank you, Artis. What's your question?
Well, I have these bugs that are like a large ant. That's the size of them. They have a bright red back. I don't know if it's a hard shell or not, but they're all over. They're in the mulch. They're in dirt. They're everywhere around the foundation of my house, and I have no idea what to do. I've never had this before. I've never seen these bugs before, and I don't know if you've heard of them or what would it would take to get rid of them.
Artist, yeah, the first thing you got to do is figure out what is that bug? What kind of bug is it? And then, you know, from identification, then we can go on to is it a good bug? Is it a bad bug? Is it what worried one we should worry about or whatever? So the really critical thing is identification of the insect. So the first thing that comes to my mind is the box elder bug, which is a harmless insect. We normally see a lot of that in the fall. That's usually not this time of year that we see too many, but gosh, I think they can be around almost at any time. But I would urge you to go to the website and there's a what insect is this? And if you can take a picture of the insect, or if you can look at red insects or somehow identify it by looking at pictures, you can also send a picture to our Ask a Master Gardener extension line, and they can diagnose what the insect is. But before you do anything as far as control, the important thing is to figure out, yes, what is it?
Yeah, let's mention that website again, extension.umn.edu, and that it's just a great resource, obviously, for a lot of things, and you brought up the bug identification. Yeah, let's do that first, and then we'll see what if we should attack it or not. Thanks, Artis. Let's see who is next here. Dan is calling in this morning, I believe, from Clear Lake. Dan, you're on CCO. Thanks for waiting. What is your question, Dan, for Mary?
Good morning, Denny, Mary. Say, my question has to do with getting flowers to rebloom. Specifically, I know you can get petunias to rebloom by deadheading them and stuff, but what I'm focusing on are my roses and my clematises. I know that some varieties of roses and clematises you can get to bloom year-round, I believe. How do you do that? Is it by deadheading them? Is it by cutting them back? Or is it strictly based on the variety of the rose and or clematis? Thank you.
Well, it's a little bit of both. There, it does seem to be genetics that will enable a plant to rebloom again, but it's also it's got to be ideal conditions. The plant has to be very healthy, have a lot of resources, adequate water especially, and fertilizer for it to bloom. I've not been successful. I've not seen many plants that really do this, that are really long blooming and repeat blooming. Some of the roses, like this Fen and Oli line that came out of the University of Minnesota, they will rebloom if you cut off the first rose hips and everything that once they're done, deadhead them, they will rebloom. But normally that second bloom is 20%, maybe 10% of what the first bloom was. So most plants don't have resources to just put out that constant bloom like we see with annuals. The annuals can, all their resources go to flowers. But with perennials, they have to compartmentalize. They've got to put some into keeping those roots and keeping leaves to come back the next year. So I would say, you know, keep your plants in ideal condition. With roses and with clematis, you can look for early blooming, mid-season bloom, and late-season bloom varieties that will give you a longer season. So the same thing goes with peonies. Some come real early and some won't come for another month. So I think your best bet is to try to get an assortment of varieties to increase the bloom time, rather than try to get one plant that's going to rebloom and sufficiently do that throughout the summer. So I hope that makes sense.
Very good. Listener says, I have a 50-year-old gooseberry bush that is fruiting less and less the past 3 years. I cut it back last year. There's lots of new growth, but no fruit. Do you have any ideas?
Well, congratulations with the 50 years. Sometimes I wonder, what is the life expectancy of some of our plants, especially fruiting plants? How long can they continue to give fruit? So I would say make sure that the environment hasn't changed. Is there more shade now than there used to be? Are other trees growing around it? Is there more competition nearby? If none of that has changed, it could be just the end of the life for this particular plant. The new shoots that come up might be good enough, but I would really consider planting a whole new plant and starting over with that.
Okay. Hang on, Mary. We're going to take a break for that hot forecast, and we'll have about another half hour of the show to go on our Smart Garden Show. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. We'll be back with more here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, answering your lawn and garden questions here on our Smart Garden Show. Mary, as usual, we have callers and we have texters. In fact, let's grab a call right away here from Rose, calling in from Minneapolis, I believe. Thanks for waiting, Rose. What is your question, please?
I have roses, and we have those beetles that's always on them. They seem to like my yellow and my white ones more, but how do I keep them, prevent them from coming on there? They're just like, they just attack them like crazy. Every year that happens, but I know it's worse right now than other years.
Yes, Rose, this is probably the Japanese beetle, which is gotten to be a problematic pest. It tends to love roses. It loves grapes, raspberries. There are certain plants that it really does love. This is a hard insect to control. The best thing is, I know you might not like this, but the best thing for a homeowner is first thing in the morning, take a bucket of soapy water and go out and just knock the insects into the soapy water and then kill them that way. They are a good flyer. They can fly away quickly, but hand picking them or this disposal of some of them first thing in the morning when they're not as active is really the best thing for a homeowner. The chemical controls that you put on for this are so the ones that will kill the Japanese beetle kill everything. They kill too many other insects. And although the damage seems great, and there seems to be a lot of them, Japanese beetles are rarely fatal. They rarely will kill a plant. Usually the plant will survive it, and they like to eat the petals, which are not as bad as the leaves on roses. So I would encourage you to do hand picking. And then, of course, there's a lot of information up on the website about the life cycle of the pest as well.
Yep. extension.umn.edu. We will be mentioning that again, of course. This texter, Mary, says they have a big, healthy hydrangea with leaves turning yellow. You think not enough water or too much?
Oh, good question. I would say probably not enough water at this point. Hydrangeas have a big, thin leaf. They like a lot of water. So I would try doing supplemental water with that.
Okay. Back to the phones. Michael is waiting there and calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Michael, thank you for waiting. What's your question for Mary?
Good morning. We have what we believe to be Japanese yew shrubs. We have a grouping, and we are wondering, they've overgrown. We're wondering if it's okay to trim them back in the summer heat, or do we have to wait for spring or winter, or when is the best time to trim those back? And the last question would be, can you use a hedge clipper, or do they have to be hand pruned?
Right. You can do this right now, Michael. We're right on the end of the line as far as pruning. I usually say by mid-July, you should finish your pruning of the evergreens like this. So I would do it as soon as you can. You can do either a thing, a hand method or a hedge. Clippers, either electric hedge here is what I think you're referring to. It really depends on how sharp your blade is, and just make a good clean cut so you don't have any ragged edges or half dead, you know, half cut off pieces. So yeah, either one, whichever is easier for you. I do it as soon as you can. If you wait longer, do it in August. There's a chance that new growth that's encouraged by pruning will be damaged in the winter. So we try to finish up the pruning by mid-July.
We were talking about watering earlier, Mary, when we started the show. This listener says, is it okay to water trees with our sprinkler system daily for 30 minutes daily, or is that not adequate?
Well, you need to measure what's coming out of that sprinkler, and in 30 minutes, see if there's an inch of water in a shallow dish or pan that you put out. So I don't think 30 minutes is probably enough. It's better off if you can water nearer the base of the tree with a larger amount of water. You put the hose down on each side of the tree for 15 or 20 minutes, and or use a gator bag. There are two or three different methods for just watering trees that are more effective than the sprinkler. The sprinkler is going to help your lawn more than it is your tree.
Right. This listener, Mary, is having a fence installed and need to trim back a rose and lilac bush. How much can I take off without causing damage?
That depends a lot on the health of the plant and the age of the plant. At the Arboretum, there are big established lilac hedges that we have pruned down to the base to do rejuvenation pruning with, and they will come back. But these are big, old, healthy plants, and if your plant is healthy, you could try that, especially if you want to get the fence in and the shrub is in the way. You could try that. Roses, not so, usually so successful with that. So a rule of thumb is I would not take off more than one-third of the plant. If you're iffy about it, if the lilac is big and healthy, it might come back totally from cutting it back to the ground.
Mary, you mentioned the Arboretum last weekend. My daughter Tina and I, we're both members to the Arboretum. We went out there. I hadn't been there for a while. And we, besides seeing the place, we saw Julie and her group, the Abiders, playing.
Lucky. Good for
yes.
you.
But I want to mention that there is such a good feeling going out there. I mean, I could live at the Arboretum. I mean, it's just, you know, you wander around there, and it's what a spectacular place and such a well-kept resource that for folks who have never been there, and I say it every time I bring it up, if you have any relatives or friends visiting, take them to the Arboretum. But you have to reserve online, don't you?
Yes, you need to reserve online every half hour. There are several hundred tickets available, so members are always free with their membership. You can become a member the day you go in. That can count towards your membership. There are many things that are blooming out there now, lilies, roses, big clematis. The clematis are beautiful, big vines if you're interested in planting a vine. The prairie is beautiful to take a walk in the prairie. Tomorrow there's a bicycle race going to happen at the Arboretum. There's also free, the Minnesota Mandolin Orchestra will be performing tomorrow afternoon. So there's a lot going on at the Arboretum in addition to the beautiful plants. And as you said, it's a peaceful, wonderful place to walk, walk on wooded trails in natural settings or walk through the built display gardens. Yes, and changes through the season. So you can always things at the ARB.
That is for sure. Easy drive, too. Just head out west on Highway 5 to 41, and you're going to be almost there. It'll be right off to your left as you're heading west. All right, let's see. Who is next here? How do I successfully plant my potted hydrangeas next to my front porch steps? Also, how do I keep the pink color on them?
Yes, the pink color, it's hard to say. If you've got a potted florist hydrangea, this is one that might not be so hardy for us in Minnesota, but it is worth a try. So, yeah, I would just dig a hole that's larger and wider than the pot. Make sure that you water it well after you plant it there and that you keep continually watering it. And I would not worry so much about the color. Sometimes it's really hard to keep the color. The bigger deal is really, is it going to live from year to year to come back and be pink or be blue? But I would worry about getting it established, make sure that it's well watered, and then hopefully it will come through the winter.
Moy, Mary, here's a question I think a lot of people have. My lawn is really struggling. Do you think it is worth it to try and water to bring it back?
This is always a challenge to figure out how long it can go in a dormant condition. So 6 weeks is the absolute maximum. 4 is kind of getting on the edge. Depends again on the health of the lawn, how healthy was it going into the drought conditions. So I would say if it's looked bad for going on 4 weeks, you should start watering it. And again, pay attention to your city regulations, and then do put a shallow pan out there and put the water on until you've got an inch in the shallow pan. And so, yeah, if it's getting close to 3 to 4 weeks that it's looked bad, I would start watering it.
Okay. Let's see. Can clover seed be dormant seeded this fall, do you think?
Yeah, I think you can do that. I think that would be fine. The dormant seeding is when there's no chance of seed germinating, you put it down. And for us, that's like November. So right about when it's snowing, you put down the seed, and then it settles in and then comes up quicker in the springtime. Lots of people now planting clover in their lawns for pollinators.
Absolutely. Okay, Mary, I'm getting a signal here. We need to take a break, so let's do that real fast and have more Smart Garden Show on the other side. Mary Meyer. Absolutely. Okay, Mary, I'm getting a signal here. We need to take a break, so let's do that real fast and have more Smart Garden Show on the other side. Mary Meyer is with us this morning from the University of Minnesota answering your lawn and garden questions. Just a reminder, right after the 9 o'clock news break, if you have any kind of questions about decks, decking, building, maintaining, cleaning, whatever the case may be, Luke Panic from Lindis Construction. He is the deck expert along with the porch specialist from Lindis Construction answering your home improvement questions, any kind of home improvement question, but especially if you have questions about decks or decking. It'll be your hour next hour here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO Radio every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Denny Long here with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, answering a bunch of questions as usual. Mary, as usual, we have callers and we have texters. Let's grab a call from Ruth, who's calling in this morning from River Falls, I do believe. Ruth, thank you. What is your question for Mary?
Well, I have a question about roses. I heard the gentleman speak about his rose bush. And years and years ago, I had a yellow shrub rose, and it seemed like in my memory, it looked, the blossom looked much like the wild pink rose that you see. It was not real double. And then there was a pink bush that had like a cushiony blossom that was very, very spicy. And this pink one just seems to go on forever and send out shoots. And I'm wondering if any of those varieties are available anymore.
Good question, Ruth. There are a lot of rose varieties, that's for sure. And many of them are newer ones. The hardy shrub roses have been really popular. Getting roses to grow in our cold climate that we don't have to do any winter protection on. So there are many newer roses that are out now as well. So I would urge you to go to the Arboretum and go to the Nelson Shrub Rose Garden. Well, you could go to the Wilson Rose Garden, too. Or there are three rose gardens at the Arboretum, but they're all labeled roses. And the Nelson is the big one that has many climbing roses, that has big yellow roses, and the William Baffin, the giant rose, that the biggest rose I think you can grow in Minnesota. And really look at the variety of roses that are there. That's probably the best way. I mean, you can go to a garden center and you could look at roses there, but if you really want to see a lot of roses and what's grown and been grown for many years, I'd urge you to go to the Arboretum and look at the labeled roses that are there. Right now is a perfect time to go. There, many of the roses are still blooming. Most of them bloom in June, but many will bloom sporadically throughout the summer. And some of the shrub roses will bloom into, I've seen October even, with a lot of flowers on them. So I wish I could tell you exactly, you know, what roses you're talking about, but, you know, there are just hundreds of them.
Seems like today we're getting a lot of critter questions, a lot of bug questions this morning. But before we get to a couple here, fertilizing is the question on things like roses and hydrangeas when it's this hot. Is it a good idea to be fertilizing during this hot spell?
I still fertilize my annuals and certainly vegetables that are growing and actively growing. As long as they have enough water, fertilizer might be the limiting factor for our annual vegetable plants and annual flowers. But fertilizer is usually not the limiting factor for trees or shrubs or perennials. And when we get into drought and dry conditions, that water supply will be the limiting factor. And if you put fertilizer onto dry soil, then you can have a burn effect or damage to the roots. So I would only use the fertilizer through this hot weather conditions on annuals that are adequately watered.
Okay. There's a bug in some milkweed, texture says, that's been identified as milkweed beetle. Is that harmful to the milkweed?
Oh, yes and no. Yes, there. You know, milkweed is amazing. There are a lot of insects that really love it. And, of course, we grow milkweed for the monarch with the monarch butterfly with a large caterpillar that will feed on it. But there are a ton of other insects that love milkweed. You know, milkweed is one of our native, almost weedy plants. It's pretty good at surviving. So I would just enjoy the insects that are on there. I take my grandkids to look at the milkweed because it's pretty much always there's going to be some bug on a milkweed plant. So I would just enjoy the insects that are there.
All right. And millions of box elder bugs, a couple of texts, two or three, as a matter of fact, on tons of box elder bugs. They're harmless. Am I right on that?
Yes, you're right. And it's probably what the previous caller had when she was talking about the red insects, seeing them more in the soil. But yes, they, you know, insects are really related to the temperatures, weather conditions, and they, warmer conditions will have them coming out sooner. So, yes, they're harmless, more of a nuisance than anything else.
When can I prune my floppy dogwood bushes? Texter wants to know.
I would do that right now, but I would certainly do it within the next week or so. Yes, the dogwoods, I've got some big dogwoods. They're great for pollinators. They're wonderful native plants, but boy, can they grow. They can grow several feet in a season. So pruning now is okay.
Mary, we have about a minute to go. Let's pass along the information about how to check out that website at the U of M, if you would, please.
Yes, extension.unn.edu, and then click on Yard and Garden, and you'll have lots of topics there. What's wrong with my plant, insect identification, growing guides, pruning guides. You know, lots of people ask us questions about hydrangeas, and we often get questions on pruning. So the extension educators have done a lot of videos on pruning, timing of pruning, lots of great information at extension.unn.edu.
Absolutely. And get to the Arboretum. You will be back for more. I guarantee it. Mary, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your expertise and your help. And I know we'll and hope we'll be talking to you real soon.
Yes, Denny, always great to talk about gardening.
Thanks so much. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Going to be a hot week coming up. By the way, as I mentioned earlier, get those deck questions along with any kind of a home improvement question you may have. Luke Panic fills in for Andy Lindis this morning here in the 9 o'clock hour. So if you have a deck question, hold on to that and ask Luke coming up here on News Talk 830 W.
Diamond Dynasty has all new red diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.